Talent ready?
Talent is ready.
Here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Local Edge Radio. This is Local Edge Radio, the show focusing on what matters to you here in Western North Carolina, from politics to entertainment. To get in on the show, call 252-4348. That's 252-4348. Now, Blake and Leslie.
Welcome back to Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie here on 880 The Revolution, Asheville's Progressive Talk, and we're broadcasting live from the Harvest Farms Organic Studios. Well, since we didn't broadcast live yesterday, we played a best of Opus from the Thirsty Monk. Also took a little vacation from Local Edge Radio, but he's here right now live in the studio for the Voice of Beer. Opus, welcome to Local Edge Radio.
Hey, thanks for having me on this very special Tuesday.
That's right, very special Tuesday. Big week for Asheville Beer City Festival this Saturday. And the Monk, as I look at the schedule, I mean, all sorts of things going on at the Monk this week, especially that Friday night party, the local cask party.
Well, we're kicking off Beer City, the Doing It Right, and we've just got nothing but probably a good dozen casks, all from local breweries.
I know. Let me read them off, because, I mean, you're going to have them all there, folks. You need to be a part of this Friday night. Special cask from Nantahala, Catawba, Highland, French Broad, Green Man, ABC, Asheville Brewing Company, Craggy Lab, Oyster House, plus special kegs from Pisgah and Wedge.
Yeah.
Is there anybody that you didn't cover?
I'm trying to think. I don't think anyone really got left out of that.
So are these special casks these breweries have made just for the Beer City Festival?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, these are casks that they've been working on, doing some special brews for each one. Some are going to be like their standard beers, but then they've thrown some weird stuff in there, like extra hops or maybe some honey to prime it. Some really interesting combinations that they've come up with. And the bar is going to be funny because we're basically just going to – we have a cooler for some of these casks, but we're going to set most of these casks right up on the bar.
Because typically cask beer is served relatively warm, right?
Well, no, it's cask beers, they're just served generally without carbonation.
Ah, gotcha.
In the UK, they actually have coolers where they put the casks in the cooler. They are not as cold as Americans tend to keep their beers. Their coolers usually are about 10 degrees warmer than ours. So,
but if you set them on the bar, Opus, they're going to warm up.
Well, we've got ice blankets.
Start drinking them pretty quick.
FYI, it's really hot this week.
Oh, it's going to be very hot. And we've got lots of ice blankets. So we basically we set the casks on the bar on these little cradles. And then we wrap an ice blanket on top of that, then some like a space security blanket, and then like some more blankets on top of that. So it makes like a nice little thermos.
I could have used that ice blanket at the Mountain Sports Festival on Sunday.
Those ice blankets come in really handy for our bartenders.
It was
too.
About 104 degrees.
Oof.
I kid you not. Well, that's exciting. I mean, that's a really big deal to coordinate all these breweries in such a way that you're able to, you know, get these casks ready at the same time. It's been
interesting and fun.
Okay.
It's fun because we've got everyone into it and everyone's, you know, there's no competition.
Yeah.
Which is the fun part about
interesting
it.
Is usually a euphemism for difficult.
Oh, well, yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
Okay. Somewhere between.
Interesting because there have been some interesting combinations and beers coming out.
Ah, gotcha.
So, Opus, I continue just to love the new website, monkpub.com. You guys have really created like a beer portal. And hats off to you. It's a great website.
I had very little to do with it except for entering some stuff in the database.
Well, take
really
credit for it, Opus. Sorry.
I mean, nobody else is here. You can say whatever you want.
Our webmaster has really worked very hard on making the new website.
But it said 850-plus beers tapped in 2011. Is that right?
That's absolutely right.
More than 850. And more.
Did you taste every single one of them? Because I'm going to do some math real quick here.
See what you're up to here.
852 ounce pours. I've missed out on quite a few, and that has actually made me very sad.
I'm sure they'll come back around the horn. So
some of them never do.
Oh, is that right?
Some of them, like, we just get one of, and that's
it. You realize
it.
You've contradicted just about everything we've said on the show today. Well, I mean, so, I'm fine with that, but...
What?
Nothing. Never mind.
She's just playing with you.
I'm keeping tabs.
So, Opus, what'd you bring for us today?
I have brought... I'm continuing with this really, really hot weather, and I'm bringing some wonderful hot weather beers.
Okay.
So I brought a lager. I brought a Narragansett lager, and this is out of a can, but you can also get it on draft. And I've also got, when we're done with the Narragansett, I brought in the Fruly, that strawberry beer that we tasted on the air. This is another kind of different take on that. It's also a Belgian wheat beer, but it's been brewed with raspberry and raspberry juice and a touch of a sour beer. So it's three beers or two beers blended together with some fruit blended into it. It's a really interesting beer called the Vitakirk Frambois.
Now, I love the idea of a can because it's more environmentally friendly than bottling things in glasses, and it protects the beer from light, which I understand is bad for many types of brews.
Light and air are the things that kill beer.
Opus did not contradict that, by
and
the
a
way.
Can,
he agreed with that. Light and air.
I checked it on Wikipedia before I said it. And I understand that one of the local breweries is going to start canning their beer. So.
That is correct. There is that. I don't know how it's past the rumor phase,
right,
but it's still not quite happened yet.
Mm-hmm. So you don't want to be the one?
ABC, Asheville Brewing Company,
okay,
is going to be canning some beer.
So, Opus, we had this beer.
Mini-kegging. That's what we call it. Mini-kegging.
Mini-kegging?
Mini-kegs.
You know, if they do the mini-kegs, that would be even better.
Micro-keg. Nano-kegging. That's what it is. Nano-kegs.
That's great.
Do you want the whole can, or do you want to pour some of this?
You guys go ahead and taste it for me.
It's a tall boy.
Okay.
As you can see,
it is a tall boy.
So we had this beer this weekend at the Mountain Sports Festival.
It's a great outdoor 104-degree weather beer.
It's called the Beer of the Clam. And on the back is how to make a clam bake. The whole
Is it really that complicated?
The clam bake?
Yeah.
Well, you can just see how they do it.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, there's a lot going on in here. And a 12-ounce can of Narragansett beer. So
Jim likes
with the 16-ounce can, you have 4 ounces left over to drink while you're making the clams.
Jim, all good actors drink this beer, by the way. Beer of the
Actually,
clam.
I will remember
I'm,
that.
I'm glad you mentioned that because...
Opus and I are getting along today. You and Opus, different stories.
Rubbing him the wrong way.
I forget who plays Quint in Jaws. But
I'm leaving the studio.
Robert
Duvall?
No. Duvall. Keep going. I'll think of it. Just...
He crushed a can of Narragansett beer in Jaws.
Did he?
And that's the one that...
Is that what he's crushing?
When he and Hooper are
exchanging...
Off,
war stories.
He's drinking Narragansett the whole time he's on board, and he's Robert Shaw.
Robert Shaw.
There you go.
Shaw.
And he crushed it against his head.
I remember that when they were talking, they were showing their scars.
That's
off.
How old this beer is.
Beer of the Clam. Wow.
Show me your hands.
Well, I have to tell you, it's a good lager. It's a lot of lagers, in my opinion, are just kind of too heavy. This is a little lighter. I like it.
Well, and the good thing about this too is it's not filled with preservatives. It's actually a beer as opposed to a beer flavored water, which is most of the lagers that you get in the supermarket,
which give you that headache that you get.
Yes.
From
it's all the sodium,
drinking
all the preservatives,
too much formaldehyde or whatever. Yeah.
This is really just nothing but good beer.
Beer of the Clam.
So you can feel like you're drinking sort of the country fried can of beer, but you're really drinking good beer.
Exactly.
I like it.
It's craft beer, but it's geared for everyone.
So Opus, I've asked you this before and you've never really been quite honest with me, but there's any style of beer that you just don't favor? I mean, is there anything out there that's like, I've tried them all, and
honestly, and we're tasting this next, some of the fruit beers are there
too fruity for you?
Usually not my favorite style of beer, like blueberry beer. Not my.
So see, Opus is getting rid of the stuff he doesn't like on us.
No.
Here, try this. Try this blueberry beer. You'll love it.
I did bring in a blueberry beer that I wasn't too crazy about before, but this the raspberry beer that I brought in, I'm nuts about. Now, I'm happy to say that.
Are you partial to cask beers? Because I remember when Steve Winwood played the Orange Peel years ago, many years ago, in fact, he specifically requested a cask beer.
Uh-huh. Did he really?
Yeah.
Is he British?
Yeah. This is a true story. The cool thing about Steve Winwood is that he would have like one nice thing on his rider, you know, the thing that comes with their contract that lists mm-hmm. like 4,000 right. things you're supposed to buy
clean
and put in your dressing
cubes.
Room. Yeah, like green M&Ms, socks, stuff like that.
Really,
but
these guys.
He said he would say like cask beer or Budweiser will be fine. I mean, it was so, and anyway, so he had a special thing for cask beer, that's apparently, and singled it out when possible.
Were you able to bring in cask beer for Steve
Winwood? We actually specifically, because we had booked him in enough time, a local brewery made some for us, and he drank it, and so it was.
The whole cask?
No.
Wow.
It was a great show, by the way. Great show.
Now that is legendary.
Right, 17
actually
times.
Laid down on the floor, on the stage and played piano.
Cast beer, or I don't go on.
Well, when was this? Do you know, like, what year?
Oh, gosh. It had to have been, like, 8 years ago.
Okay. Well, that's probably before the time that really America got turned on to cask beer. Mm-hmm. Britain has had they call it the real ale movement. Mm-hmm. They've had this for like, you know, several decades already, where a lot of beer enthusiasts really just want nothing but cask conditioned beer because that's what they're used to. That's traditional. And it just recently took off in America because we're not really used to beer that doesn't have a lot of bubbles in it and can be served like slightly warmer than 50 degrees. So it's been taken off. It's still a hard sell. I mean, there's still people out there who, when they taste cask beers, to them it tastes flat, mm-hmm. and they don't care for it just right away. They're like, oh, there's something wrong with this beer. It's flat. It's like, well, that's actually the traditional way as beer was served.
But who knew? 20 years ago that we'd be in this craft beer craze like we are today in America.
Well,
okay, somebody knew, apparently.
I did. I mean, if you look at the history of this country, it was originally all these microbreweries around the United States, and then Prohibition came, and the big boys just took advantage of that when that got repealed and took over mm-hmm. the entire beer market. And very slowly, the home brewers have been, and the craft brewers, which are pretty much the same thing, have been chipping away at these giant breweries.
So, Opus, you mentioned you don't really favor some of the fruity beers, per se, but you have some stocked at the Thirsty Monk South, I was noticing the other day. How do you sell these beers to people? If they say, well, hey, I'm not big on beer, I kind of like wine, do you just introduce them? Do you let people taste them? Because most of them are just bottled up right there, right?
Usually, yeah, people, when they mention that they don't like beer or if they like to drink wine, or, I mean, I hate to say this, but some of the ladies who come in,
like wine coolers.
Oh, stop! No, we're not going there.
No one ever asks for a wine cooler. We have people ask for,
except
you know,
if they go back into the time machine.
Yeah, and wear my pleated khakis.
And that's. I mean, I will taste this out, but James. if we taste it, you'll
well,
think
no, you were going to say something.
You'll think
there at
wine
the end,
cooler.
You didn't finish your sentence.
You were about to disparage women.
Yeah,
I was not.
No, if they ask for.
If they ask for a wine, I will usually try to sneak in there and say, you know, we have some really good wine selections. We have like about, you know, three or four different whites or reds. Mm-hmm. We have cigar wines that I try to keep in. And they're good wines. But, you know, wouldn't you like to say that you tried a beer? And these are for people who like usually come in and they come in with someone and they just want something to placate themselves. So I will taste this beer out for them, let them have a taste, and usually 9 times out of 10, they're hooked.
Well,
I have
let's
to
try
say,
it on Leslie.
I went to a, I like beer. I mean, you don't have to.
No, the raspberry.
Didn't have to be
beer.
All tricked out for me.
Tricked out.
I was at a holiday dinner with Julie from Brews and Ales, and mm-hmm. she brought along, we're all wine drinkers in this group of women who get together, and so Julie brought us a bunch of beers that, you know, were wine-like,
yes.
had bouquets and came in bottles. One was really champagne-like, and it was really interesting to see the breadth of beer making in this world. Oh, wow, this is pink.
Yes.
This is a pink beer. All right.
The really cool thing about those beers is that, like, they're not beer tasting at all. Like, those, some, I brought in some Gooses like a few weeks ago, and They taste like, you know, tart champagne, almost vinegar, but like a good tasting vinegar.
There and that's considered beer.
This is tickled pink.
It is tickled pink.
I am drinking pink beer that smells like Barbie lip gloss.
You drank that at your prom, yeah. I think.
This is the Vitekirk Frambois. Sorry.
Oh my gosh.
And that's usually the response that we get
to it.
This
is like Kool-Aid. I mean, it really doesn't taste like it has much alcohol in it.
Oh, you know what? It's actually got a pretty decent kick. It's about 4.8%.
This is dangerous. I mean,
yes.
If you were really hot and this was served really cold, you could just down this like a sports drink or something.
Absolutely. That's what we usually warn after they get the first. And they chug it down, and they're like, I want another one.
Is this one of those beers that was infused with gummy bears?
You know, that's the second gummy bear remark I've heard about this beer.
It's very sweet, but I agree with Leslie. It's hard to tell it's even a beer. Mm-hmm. Somebody gave it to you in a glass and say, hey, here's some Crystal Light Fruit Punch Medley. You might just down it, and you wouldn't notice much.
Yeah, I think you'd be hard-pressed to determine that this had any alcohol in it.
It's definitely a wheat beer, a Belgian-style wheat beer. And they've infused it with raspberry juice, raspberries, and just a touch of a sour beer called Petrus Age Pale, which is a blended beer in itself. So really, it's like five beers with raspberries.
Now, the cynic in me would say that they're trying to get little kids to start drinking beer. Like when the Camel Cigarettes Camel was giving away all kinds of toys. Joe Camel.
Well, when this beer first came out, it was marketed for the clubs and ladies in the clubs. the European clubs.
VIP.
The discotheques, as I think they call them officially over there.
Right. Okay. That was interesting. Yeah. Appreciate it. It literally is sort of pink, like Jolly Rancher watermelon colored. Watermelon Jolly Rancher.
Yeah, it's in a pink elephant glass here, and it just matches the elephants perfectly.
Well, this has been a great segment, Opus. Let's remind everybody real fast before we break of what's going on at the Monk. Of course, Pint Night on Wednesdays, and you got a cask of Terrapin at the downtown location and Sprecher at the South Asheville location. And then Friday night, once again, the big local cask party at the Thirsty Monk, kind of the Beer City Festival.
Yep, we always like to do something huge for all the beer festivals that go on because people come in town from all over to visit Asheville and take on the beer festivals. And we know that they're in town the day before, so we'd like to do something upright for them. And we've got all these casks. And really, I can't even think of anyone that we left out. But it's pretty much all Asheville is represented there in a cask.
And I saw your email. You're doing something really cool, too, starting next week. The economy's tough right now, but starting on Monday nights, $1 off all North Carolina beer. And on Tuesday, $1 off a full pour. So every little bit helps in this economy.
Yeah, we're trying to – we know our beers are pricey, and we know that we have some snobbery microbrews and craft breweries, but we try to make it reasonable.
Well, that's wonderful. You're doing your part. Session busting over at Thirsty Monk. Well, thanks so much, Opus. We really appreciate it. This is a beer education in the making. I'm going to demand a degree when all is said and done.
We can definitely do some kind of ceremony and award certificate. And
woo! Kegger at Thirsty Monk!
And folks, don't forget to visit the website. It's a cool one, monkpub.com. And of course, we'll be back on Monday at 4 o'clock. For the Voice of Beer with Opus. We're back on regular schedule next week.
All right, we're going to take a really quick break. It's Local Edge Radio with Blake and Leslie on 880 The Revolution, Asheville's Progressive Talk.